Just before we hear from the Word of God, I wonder if somebody could just do me a favour, bring me a glass of water from down in the common room. Is that okay? Thanks. We're going to look tonight in Hebrews chapter 11 at verses 8 to 16, where we read about Abraham's faith. And Abraham receives more space in Hebrews chapter 11 than any of the other Old Testament believers who are mentioned there. Abraham occupies a larger section of the book of Genesis than anyone before or after him. A whole chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, as well as most of a chapter in Galatians, is preoccupied with Abraham. And if we were to ask why, we know that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the authors of the Bible wrote. But they also wrote and they speak about Abraham because Abraham is such a hero of faith. So let's think about that for a moment. Where did Abraham's faith come from? How is it that Abraham is a hero of faith? Did Abraham have a godly mother and father? Was it because Abraham had such good teaching? Was it because Abraham was mentored by a prophet? Well, none of those. As we review a little of Abraham's history, the Bible tells us that Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees, a city that's now in southern Iraq. Thanks very much. So Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees in southern Iraq, and at the time of Abraham, Ur was one of the world's great cities. It had a population of over 300,000 people. We know it was a city that was a centre for education, culture, science, business, trade, but it was also a polytheistic society, a city with many gods. So we know Abraham was not a seeker when he was called by God. He was a man of Ur, a man of his culture and time. The book of Joshua tells us that he was a pagan man, raised by pagan parents and serving pagan gods. Joshua 24 verse 2, Joshua tells us, as he speaks about the patriarchs, the believers before him, "Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." So where did Abraham's faith come from? How did he move from paganism to faith? And the answer of the Bible is the grace of God. In grace, God called Abraham. In his sermon in the book of Acts, Stephen tells us, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia." So it wasn't that Abraham was the most special man in the city of Ur. No, it was grace. In grace God called him. But let's then ask another question. Of all the 300,000 people in Ur, why did God call Abraham? Was Abraham seeking for the truth? Did Abraham realize his life was empty and that he was searching for meaning? And again, the Bible says none of those things. Again, the Bible speaks of the grace, the unmerited favor of God, the sovereign grace of God. Listen to Paul writing about this sovereign grace of God in Romans chapter 9 and verse 18. Romans chapter 9, verse 18. "God has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will a thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honour and another for dishonour?" And what was true for Abraham, sovereign grace called him. Sovereign grace calls you tonight. if your faith is in Jesus Christ, my faith, the faith of all who believe. No one believes because they're brighter, smarter, better, wiser. No, God calls people out of grace. And he calls them by the effective power of his word, applied to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know anything tonight about the grace of God? Do you rejoice in the grace of God? Do you say, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me? That's Abraham's testimony. Yes, he was predestined from all eternity in the counsels of God. God called him by grace. And Abraham was justified by grace. He had a righteousness which was not his own, but a righteousness which came by faith, which is how you're accepted before God tonight if you're a Christian. A righteousness which is put to your account by faith, the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. So it's because of sovereign grace that Abraham is one of the heroes of faith. So what can we say about his faith? What can we learn from Abraham's faith? Four things tonight. That Abraham had a faith that obeyed, prevailed, expected, and relied. First, a faith that obeys. Listen to how verse 8 in Hebrews chapter 11 puts it. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham had a faith that obeys. I wonder, do you have a faith like that tonight? Abraham heard and Abraham obeyed. God called, God, as it were, knocked on the door of Abraham's heart, and Abraham answered the door. We've been in the book of Acts in our midweek Bible studies. And we read that there was a time in the book of Acts when an angel of the Lord released Peter from prison. And Peter went to the house of Mary and knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda went to the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, now the church had been praying that Peter would be released from prison. But when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran inside and she was crying out, Peter is at the door. But she didn't open the door. Rhoda didn't open the door to Peter. In fact, Rhoda left Peter standing at the door. And although the church was praying for Peter to be released, they had a hard time believing that it was Peter at the door. Eventually, they let him in. Well, if Rhoda let Peter standing at the door and didn't let him in, Abraham had a faith that answered God's call. When God knocked at the door of Abraham's heart, Abraham responded. Abraham had a faith that responded to God's call. God spoke to him and Abraham answered. And faith that is the product of grace responds in that way. Abraham heard, Abraham obeyed. And Abraham left Ur. He left the people he knew. He left friends, business contacts, associates, neighbors. He left his home. We understand that Abraham was a wealthy man. We can assume he lived in a luxurious house. But he left the culture of Ur, the city, the country. He left the religion, the gods of Ur. He left it all behind. And at the age of 75, when most people in our culture think about retirement, Abraham's faith led to a new beginning. What happened, you think, when Abraham said to Sarah and to the rest of the family to gather round? He had an important announcement to make. We are moving. We're moving. Why? Are we moving to a better neighborhood? Are we downsizing? Are we moving because of a business opportunity? Why are we moving? God told me. We are moving. Why does God want us to move? Abraham must have said, I don't know. I don't know why. I just know God has told us we are moving. Where are we moving to? I don't know. If I'd have been there, I'd have said, what do you mean you don't know? We're moving and you don't know where we're going. How will we get there then? What route are we going to take? And Abraham would have said, I don't know. We're moving, Abraham. You don't know where we're going. You don't know the route. How are we going to get there? Why are we moving? And all Abraham had was the word of God. God has told me to move. And I must obey. And a faith that's the product of grace obeys. In fact, a faith that's the product of grace wants to obey. A faith that's a product of grace delights to obey. A faith that's the product of grace is thankful to obey. And the Bible tells us, by faith, Abraham obeyed. And he left. And there is a sense in which every Christian is called upon to do exactly the same thing. Think of the conversation between Jesus and the disciples when they were in the upper room on the night when Jesus was betrayed. That conversation is recorded in John chapter 14. Some of you will know these words, where the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go up and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas can't help but speak up, and he says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says to Thomas, you do know the way. Because Jesus is saying, I am the way. Jesus is the way. I am the way to where you're going, even though you don't know that country. That's why I say, in a sense, we're called to do the same thing that Abraham was called to do. One theologian puts it this way, for the Christian, we are called to an unknown country with a well-known inhabitant. Heaven to us is an unknown country. It's very hard for us to get our minds around what heaven will be like, what the new heavens and the new earth will be like. An unknown country, we've never been there. We've never laid eyes on it. But there's a well-known inhabitant in that country, isn't there? If you're a Christian tonight, you know the one who has prepared the way for you, who is the way to that country. Jesus himself. But we have to say, like Abraham, Lord, we don't know much about this place you're calling us to. But we do know how to get there. We know this place is glory and bliss and delight, and it's the presence of Jesus. And the way to get to this country is Jesus himself. We're going to trust in him. And what Abraham did in leaving his home in Ur of the Chaldees and making his way to a new country, a land of promise, it's like a picture of what every believer does. You say, I'm not going to put all my hopes and all my reliance. I'm not just going to live my life for this world. I'm going to trust in the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to live for him who I can't see, who will take me to a country that I can't see. And I'm going to rely absolutely on his promises, and that he'll take me to that unknown country, but he's the well-known inhabitant who will take me there. Do you have a faith like that? A faith that obeys. That you're relying tonight absolutely on Jesus Christ to take you to heaven and glory. A faith that obeys. And then secondly, a faith that prevails. God called Abraham to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. And God told Abraham to look north and south and east and west. And there was a time when God said to Abraham, all the land that he could see, God promised that he would give it to him. And God even invited him to walk through the breadth and length of that land, to check it out, as it were. Listen to how it's put in Genesis chapter 13 and verses 14 to 18. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. Then the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. And so Abram was given this land. And what was the reaction of the people who lived in that land? Bera, king of Sodom. Bersha, king of Gomorrah. Shinab, king of Admah. Shemeba, king of Zebulun. And the king of Bela. Did they throw open the gates of their cities and say to Abraham, "Here are the keys to the gates of our cities. Welcome." Did they say to Abraham that he could help himself to whatever he wanted because it was all his? Oh no, says the Bible. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. When Abraham arrived in Canaan, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. Verse 9, Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham had been given the land by faith. And yet he lived in that land like a stranger. He lived like a stranger in a foreign country. In fact, we're told that Abraham lived in tents. Now, he didn't live in a tent in Ur, but in the land of promise, he lived in tents. In the ancient world, you lived in a tent when you were on the move. So what do we see when we look at Abraham? We see him always on the move, always packing up, on the move, on the move. Shechem, Bethel, Egypt, Negev, Bethel again, the hill country, Hebron, Mamre, Negev again, Gera, Bathsheba, on and on and on it went. I wonder what Sarah thought of it. Abraham, why are we on the move again? But God had said, "Abraham, all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever." When Abraham died, how much of the land actually belonged to Abraham? One little piece of ground. A piece of land with a cave where he buried Sarah. And the years marched by, 5, 10, 40, 80, 500. 500 years before Abraham's descendants finally took possession. So Abraham was always on the move. And how did Abraham do it? How did Abraham put up with all of this? By faith, says Hebrews. It was all by faith. The faith that comes from grace. A faith that obeys God. And because of that faith, Abraham put up with all the inconvenience of the relocations and moving around and living in a tent and all the packing and moving and packing and moving and unpacking. And faith made him willing to do it. When there were many incentives to go back to Ur, many reasons to go back, business, culture, language, school, all better in Ur. But if your concern is your soul, your eternal well-being, then you see that the tents of Canaan outshine the luxury homes of Ur. A faith that prevails, a faith that endures, a faith that puts up with difficulties. Does that describe your faith tonight? The faith that allows you to keep going in a difficult marriage when the world bombards you with options like adultery or divorce. The faith to keep going as a Christian, as a single person, with many pressures. The faith to keep going as a Christian in the workplace when the world ridicules. The faith to keep going as a Christian student when the academic world taunts the Christian view on creation or abortion or the moral issues of our day. the faith that prevails as a Christian businessman. When an opportunity arises for much gain, but through shady means. To bear witness for Jesus Christ in a hostile environment. That was Abraham's faith. A faith that prevails. In spite of difficulties, a faith that prevails. So a faith that obeys, a faith that rebels. Thirdly, a faith that expects. This aspect of Hebrews describes Abraham's faith, this expectant faith, in this way. Verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God had made promises to Abraham about the land. Year after year went by without fulfillment. Year after year, Abraham and Sarah living in tents. Why was Abraham able to endure so long? Abraham was able to endure because by faith, he was looking forward to something. By faith, he was anticipating something. By faith, he was expecting something. With confidence, with Bible hope. What was he expecting? What was he anticipating? By faith, he was expecting a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. Because Abraham understood something about the promised land. He understood that by faith, the land of Canaan was not the final destination. The land of Canaan pointed to something greater, something better, something more wonderful. Canaan pointed to a lasting city, an eternal city, the city of God, a city which has foundations. Living in London, we have a hard time appreciating this. Cities are way too crowded and noisy and dirty. We watch the news, we read the paper, and in the city, we think there's much ungodliness in a city like London. In the ancient world, the city was regarded as a high expression of civilization and culture. The city that Abraham was looking forward to in faith was not just a place of culture and civilization, though. It was a place of permanence. Abraham had been living in tents, temporary, on the move, packing, unpacking, moving, set up, taken down, move again, unpack again. But he was looking to a city with foundations, something fixed, something permanent, something solid. No more moving, no more tents and tent pegs and tent poles, putting them up, taking them down, putting them up, taking them down. By faith, Abraham was looking to something permanent. But the most important thing of all about this city, Abraham was looking forward to a city because its builder and maker is God, says the Bible. This city is described in the book of Hebrews in many ways. A better country. A heavenly one. Something better. Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. A kingdom which cannot be shaken. A continuing city. And as we hear all those descriptions piling up, what do they tell us? They tell us this is the perfect city. This is the city of God. Life in this city is life with Jesus. Life in this city means no sin, no tears, no death, no pain, no pandemics in this city. The city of God that Abraham was looking forward to by faith. So faith that comes from grace is a faith that obeys. And it expects, it looks forward. It realizes, like Abraham, that the promised reward is the life to come. It realizes that we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. Faith that comes from grace makes investments in eternity. So do you realize tonight, this world is temporary. This great city of London, but it's temporary. There's a city that's far more important. Is this city your home? The city of God. By faith, are you looking for that permanent city, that dwelling place of God through all eternity, a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells? A a faith that obeys, a faith that prevails, a faith that expects, and finally, a faith that relies. God had promised Abraham a son. And through that child, God promised that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. And God first made that promise to Abraham when he was 75 years old. 11 years later, Abraham and Sarah had a wobble in their faith. And Ishmael was born to Hagar. But Ishmael was not the child of promise. 13 years later, when Abraham was 99, God promised Abraham that he would have a son through Sarah the following year. And what was Abraham's response? Genesis 17, verse 12. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" What was Sarah's response? Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" So the Bible is telling us very clearly, Abraham was past age to become a father. And Sarah was past age to have a child. We understand that Abraham had lost his procreative powers, and Sarah was well past the age of bearing a child. Yet God had promised Abraham a son. And through that son, a great nation. And God had made the promise. And the Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So we notice what Abraham did by faith. All the questions, all the doubts. But he focused on the character of God, the God who had made the promise. And by faith, Abraham weighed the impossibility of becoming a father. But he weighed that against the impossibility of God breaking his promise. And so Abraham believed the impossible. And he relied on the promise of God. Abraham knew that if God could break a promise, then God would no longer be God. If God were to break a promise, then nothing is sure in this world. And everything is turned upside down. Abraham relied. He stood on the promises of God. Listen to Romans chapter 4 and verses 19 to 21 as we understand what happened. Romans 4 verse 19. And not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was fully convinced, absolutely convinced that God can do anything. God can create the universe out of nothing. God can part the rivers of the Red Sea. In a desert, God can make water come out of a rock and make manna come down from heaven. God can make the walls of a fortified city like Jericho fall down. God can give a son to a man who's past the age to be able to procreate and a woman who's able to bear a child. But God is faithful. His promise absolutely secure. Hebrews 11 verse 12. Therefore from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And that promise pointed forward to another son, to another impossible conception, and another impossible birth. That one day a son would be born of a virgin. Like Abraham, we need to believe by faith that God is faithful to his promises, that he's trustworthy, that he's reliable, that God will never, never, never break his word. So when you hear the gospel call tonight to repent and believe the gospel, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Do you believe God is faithful to that promise? Many of you have experienced that in your own lives. You've called on God for salvation, and God's promise is reliable. He saves to the uttermost all who come to him. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ this evening? Faith that looks to Jesus for acceptance before God. Faith that sees a future, promised future hope that God promises to all who trust in him. Faith that's proved in various ways along the way as God leads his people. It's been the witness of the Christian church down through the ages that God's promises are reliable, that we can stand on the promises of God, that God's promises of future glory are sure. Jesus Christ has guaranteed it by his resurrection from the dead. It's a fact that the book of Hebrews emphasizes again and again and again. How do you know tonight that your sins can be forgiven? How can you know that you have peace with God? How can you know that you're going to heaven? Because of the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ. Now the fulfillment of the promise may await the consummation of the ages. But Jesus has guaranteed it. Guaranteed it by his death on the cross for our sins and by his bodily resurrection from the dead. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. Because it's only a matter of time, and one day the Lord will come. How do we know? Do you believe that the Lord's going to come? How do you know? Because of the promise of God. The promise that Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead, as surely as Jesus was raised from the dead, so one day, suddenly, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, the Lord will come. And the day of glory will be brought in. And then that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, all of God's people safely gathered in, safely brought home, safely in glory through faith in Jesus Christ. So let's come to God now. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for the challenge and also the encouragement we get from reminding ourselves of the faith of a man like Abraham long ago. But we pray, Lord, not just looking back as we look back to the history of what happened in the life of Abraham, but in present day experience. We pray even tonight, Lord, that those who have never done so before will put their faith in Jesus Christ and stand on that promise of God, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And for all of us, Lord, as believers, that you will teach us from Abraham's faith what it means to live for Christ tonight and tomorrow and in this week ahead. Forgive us, Lord, when we are tempted to take our eyes off Jesus Christ and to live just for this world. But no, we seek another city. We're not just living for London and the here and now. We're looking and we are living for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we look in faith tonight to Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to live for him more and more. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, tonight and even world without end. Amen.